So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here. I want to welcome you back to another 30 minutes of Freedom Rings. Appreciate you listening in today. And I want to start out with some of these Antifa protesters. This past Sunday in Portland, Oregon, there was a group of people who assembled peacefully to defend freedom. And of course, Antifa showed up. And there's a picture of some of them here. One kid, all you can see is his eyes, but he looks like he's about 14, 15 years old, maybe, wearing a black bicycle helmet and a bandana over his face. He looks like a moron. But anyway, as what happened just about a year ago when they had rallies there where they clashed, of course, violence broke out. Well, that is the whole purpose of Antifa, is to cause violence, because they think that that's going to bring more attention to their side. But typically, what that does is to drive people away. Now, initially, it may work for them, but eventually, people are going to get tired of it, and they're just going to turn away. But last year, there was a bunch of bloody fights that broke out, and it resulted in several arrests. Now, the Portland police have tweeted that some of the protesters this past Sunday were throwing bottles and fireworks at them, and others were caught with knives and other weapons. And officials were encouraging people to get out of the immediate area for their own safety. See, we never start this stuff. It's always the liberals that start this stuff, folks. And they'd really better pray that we don't decide to end it. Because when we do, they're not going to like the results. So here's a report here that says many of the Antifa activists wore black and covered their faces. Well, that's what they always do. They hide. They don't want you to be able to see their faces. They want to have this whole little image of being Billy Badass all dressed in black and thinking that they're really cool, and they're not. Now, a lot of these protesters said they were demonstrating against police brutality, and one was actually holding a sign that said, F the police. Well, that's a real good way to get them on your side. Now, I guess the initial event was staged by an organization called Patriot Prayer. I'm not familiar with them, but it bills itself as a peaceful First Amendment advocacy group. They put the rally on, and they called it Tiny's Freedom March. And it's a going-away event for Tusitala John Toess, I guess hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, who's close with their group leader, Joey Gibson. Now, that part of the article is, okay, that's at 5. Oh, I see. This is a breakdown of what the events were going to be. Let me just scroll here. The Rose City Antifa scheduled a counter-protest for 4 p.m. to show Patriot Prayer, just as we showed them last year, that their violence and hatred has no place in Portland. Excuse me? They're not the ones who were being violent and hating. It was Antifa, as it always is. Man, these people, they just don't get it through their heads. Going through the information here, it says last year's protest resulted in 14 arrests. Don't know how many actually happened this year. It may go on to say, but it doesn't. It says it was not immediately clear if Sunday's demonstrations in downtown resulted in any arrests, but photos and videos posted to social media showed protesters fighting and clashing, while some apparently were doused with pepper spray. I just cannot get over this, folks. Now, the cops said that while the city respects the right to assemble, anyone with weapons or anyone involved in violent activities was subject to arrest. Well, yes, of course. I mean, that is how these things typically go. You can't show up trying to cause trouble and cause violence and have weapons on you because that shows that you are intent on being violent. And yeah, you're going to be arrested. Now, if more of these little twerps would get arrested and thrown into like a mainstream population where some of the really bad thugs are, they might not be so inclined to do something in the future that would result in their ending up in that same place again. Huh. Isn't that what jail was for in the first place? Wasn't that the whole reason in throwing people in jail and building prisons was to get you to the point where you didn't ever want to go back again? That's why the conditions were so brutal and so harsh, so that you never, ever, ever wanted to find yourself back in a penitentiary. But they have their TV, they have their workout rooms, they have everything. It's basically like Club Med behind bars. They can watch TV, they can smoke, they can socialize, they can play cards. Yeah, it may be a little bit boring, but it's not as boring as it should be. Make it boring for them, make it horrible for them, and maybe they'll be less inclined to want to do something next year and end up back there again. Now, the next item I want to talk to you about here, folks, is about a grocery store chain called Publix. Now, they're big here in the Southeast. They are headquartered, I believe, out of Florida. And there's many chains involved. I don't know who actually owns whom, who bought who out. So many different companies are involved with these chains nowadays. But they were one of the grocery stores that was falling in line with all the anti-gun protests and demands to stop supporting the NRA and other gun rights advocacy groups and everything along those lines. And I predicted when this first started happening that people were going to have enough of it and they were going to lose a significant amount of business over it. So I found an article here that says why Publix shouldn't have tried to pander to gun control protesters. And the subheading, it says, to call attention to Publix alleged 3 or 4 times removed support of the National Rifle Association, David Hogg and his co-conspirators organized a die-in at the Florida supermarket. Now, this, having gone through the article, is a little piece that was snatched out of there. It's further down in the article. But it starts out talking about Publix, and they're a very well-known chain, like I said, here in the Southeast. And the article says that they treat their employees well, they maintain a wholesome image, and sell what are known to us native Floridians, I almost said Floridians, as the best sub sandwiches on the planet. In late May, though, they found themselves arbitrarily thrust into a national gun debate in which they had no stake and seemed to want nothing to do with. They hopefully learned that there was no winning in stupid battles. Well, that's a very good way to start it out. I mean, you got to pick and choose your battles, folks. There are some that are worth fighting for and some that aren't. And something that's going to blow over as quickly as this will is one that they just should have never gotten involved in this. I mean, they had no business being involved in a gun debate to begin with. I mean, Publix is not one of those stores that sells guns or ammunition. And when you walk through, I mean, looking at the items on their shelves, it's not going to leave you with any kind of impression on what the newest Austrian duty pistol handles or what you should attach to your AR-15. But it all started when David Hogg noticed that this particular chain, who regularly donates to political candidates irrespective of party, had made donations to state Republican gubernatorial candidate Adam Putnam. And their apparent issue with this was that Putnam was guilty of making non-particularized pro National Rifle Association comments on Twitter. Something along those lines. Just utter nonsense. And they've been calling attention to Publix's alleged 3 or 4 times removed support of the NRA, and Camera Hogg and his co-conspirators organized this die-in at this particular Florida supermarket. And the whole idea was to lay down in the aisles of the store, pretty much inconveniencing and confusing all the customers with the goal of ending Publix's support of Putnam, and then their apparent support of gun rights. It was something like that. Anyway, it's kind of hard to pin down the purpose of the protest in light of the fact that Publix suspended all political contributions days before this protest. What was the purpose in them even being there? Now, I mean, to them, their move, I mean, tactically, it was sound. You know, they knew that a bunch of these protesters had just trained down in on them, just picked them for no particular reason, and they were doing everything they could to set up a public relations nightmare. And then Publix knew that their support of Putnam was really the heart of the issue here. So they decided to temporarily suspend all political contributions and then reevaluate their giving process. And they released a statement explaining this ahead of this protest. And it was a pretty good idea, at least according to the way they viewed things. And it really didn't apply to anyone in particular. It was one of those things where you're just walking on eggshells, basically. But everything does have problems. I mean, the protesters really didn't care about what they were doing. The whole idea was to just cause trouble. So I don't really know how you deal with these people, short of it just snapping one day and somebody just... I'm sorry, it's going to happen. Somebody is going to show up with guns, and it's going to end up in another situation like we had in Greensboro, North Carolina, back in the 1960s. The left calls it the Greensboro Massacre. We call it the Greensboro Shootout. And they made a mistake of starting it with the Klan, and the Klan finished it, and several other protesters were killed in the process. But getting back to this story, looking back at this, I mean, it was obvious that there was nothing Publix could have done to prevent any of this protest. I mean, David Camera Hogg had made an additional demand immediately ahead of the protest for $1 million to be donated to a victim's fund and that the company never support in an A-rated NRA politician again. Give me a break. That's not their business to demand things like that. And obviously, there was no time for Publix to respond to this. And Camera Hogg's statement would be made, and Publix would have to deal with it. And even though the company seemed to respond by stopping their political contributions, they were still facing all the backlash from the anti-gun crowd for not acquiescing to subsequent extortive demands for money that the protesters be allowed to dictate the privately held corporation's giving philosophy. Of course, it's simple demands, right? Yeah, it's nothing too big. It's just $1 million. I mean, every corporation has an extra $1 million that they can just give out randomly on 48 hours notice. But apparently, it wasn't just the anti-gunners that were upset about Publix's actions, because the pro-gun crowd viewed the company's suspension of political donations, despite the fact that they were non-committal, as too easily giving in to the demands of the Hogg Troop. And naturally, this spurred yet more boycotting. Just a grocery store. Not even selling guns like some of the other chains did. So the problem here is that they tried to walk a fine line in the middle, and you can't do that. Because, as I said, there's no dealing with the other side. You got to pick one side or another. There's no middle ground here. And Publix has learned this the hard way. Because now that this has all come down, they have lost a lot of support. The boycotts are going on, and it is hurting them. And I hope that they have learned their lesson, and I hope that the rest of these corporations out there that engaged in this sort of thing have learned their lesson as well, because it's going to come back to haunt them as well. This nasty animal is going to keep coming back to bite them in the butt. It's not going to go away. People have had enough on both sides. And again, getting caught in the middle like this is not going to work. You can't be Switzerland. You've got to pick one side or the other. Choose your battle, choose it wisely, and fight it wisely. Boycotts by our side, if done properly, do work. I'm sure you all remember the story, gosh, back 2004, I think, when Dan Schildhauer got fired by Cabela's for flyering for the National Alliance on his own time. That was completely wrong. And I stopped in at the Cabela's Superstore in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, and I came in with my duty jacket on and asked to speak to the manager. And he came out, and we had a little discussion about it. And there was, ironically, a group of Boy Scouts who were getting ready to take a tour. I mean, that's how big the store was. They were getting ready to take a tour. There was some dude handing out maps to navigate the store. And they were listening very intently to the discussion I was having with the manager. And I told him I would no longer be buying any products from Cabela's ever again. And he looked at me, and he said, well, if you knew what organization this man was involved with, you might think differently. So I know full well it was the National Alliance, and it doesn't matter what the man's beliefs are. What he does on his own time outside of work is his own business, and for you to fire him for doing something that he was doing on his own time is completely wrong, and you cannot stand there and tell me that it's not wrong. So we went on for a few more minutes, and then he asked me for a card. And I'm sure he had every intention of contacting my supervisor to make a complaint against me for supporting a racist that had been employed with her company, and I could see the look of dismay on his face when it showed that my rank was chief, and there was absolutely no way in hell I was going to fire myself. So anyway, the point that I'm getting to is Cabela's has been bought out by Bass Pro Shops, so now I may actually start shopping there again. But again, my point being, it took that long. It took almost 15 years, but the point was finally made that enough people were not supporting Cabela's to keep them going, and they had to be bought out by a bigger company like Bass Pro Shops, who treats their employees with the respect and admiration that they deserve. Gotta take a break here, folks. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net, and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Stranger in a Strange Land by Iron Maiden. That is my favorite song by my favorite group. And the thing about that song came out in 1987, I think. And my friend Jim and I were up in Quebec, and we got lost. And we didn't speak any French. I didn't speak any at the time. And we were way out in the country, and they didn't speak much English. And we were lost, and we're driving around singing this song, Stranger in a Strange Land. And then the following winter, I was up in Quebec because I had met somebody, and I went up to see her before I moved out to California. And I remember driving around playing this song in the middle of a blizzard. So every time it's snowing, I will just pull this song up on the internet because my stereo doesn't work so well anymore, and all those cassettes are so worn out, they sound like that when you try and play them. So I'll pull it up on the internet and just sit here in the office looking out the window with the snow coming down. It just kind of sends me back about 30 years in time. Not that I live in the past or anything, mind you. It's just that everybody says I'm stuck in the 80s, so perhaps it does. But anyway, Stranger in a Strange Land by Iron Maiden. That's an awesome tune. That was the first album where they actually came out with the MIDI sound that we now associate with Iron Maiden, because when Iron Maiden first came out, they sounded a lot like Molly Hatchet. Even though they were from Britain, they had that whole southern rock sound to them. And when they came out with that whole MIDI sound, just an awesome change for the band. I'm glad they did it, because most of their big hits now came after that change in their venue. So, okay, let's get back to the show. We got a few minutes left here. What you got for me, George? Well, yes, I know. George is reminding me that this is the time of month when I should be doing my Events from White History segment on the show. And I agree. Now, I had a buddy up in New York, Mike from New York, that was sending those to me, and haven't gotten them in a while. So, Mike, bud, if you're listening, my friend, I sure like to get those back out on the air. I don't know where you're finding them, but they were really good and got some positive feedback from the audience on that. So if you can get those sent out to me, I'd be more than happy to get those put up on the air again. So, George, don't tell me what I should be doing. Tell me what I'm going to be doing. You're my producer. It's your responsibility to line the show up for me. What do you have? I'll tell you, folks, this is what I get for being cheap and having my own cat produce the show. I should have never, ever done that. Yeah, that sounds good. Let's run with that. Rick Santorum, or as I like to refer to him as Rick Sanatorium, Rick Santorum says that Barack Obama actually exacerbated racism in the United States. Really? You think? Yeah, well, we know that happened. So, apparently, Senator Rick Santorum, he's a Republican from Pennsylvania, in case you're not familiar with him, said that former President Barack Obama had the power to bring the nation together, but wound up increasing racism in part by the way he handled police shootings. We still see that happening, folks. Now, Santorum, who is a conservative political commentator for CNN, made the accusation during a heated State of the Union panel discussion this past Sunday about racism in the United States. Huh, funny. All these stories you're giving me, George, are from Sunday. Did you do anything Monday and Tuesday? Uh-huh. Now, Karine Jean-Pierre, a senior advisor and national spokeswoman for MoveOn.org, which is a political action committee that raises money for progressive politicians, said it was pretty horrific to see voters sway toward Donald Trump's campaign after electing the first African-American president, black president. There was an uproar. You saw the Tea Party. You saw destruction by Republicans time and time again, Jean-Pierre said. It's kind of problematic. It says a lot about this country, and Donald Trump tapped into it. Well, of course he did, because your boy screwed it up. Now, Jean-Pierre, who worked on both of Obama's presidential election campaigns and served in his administration, said it's important to remember that Trump's political career started in earnest by promoting birtherism, the, in their words, false conspiracy theory that Obama wasn't born in the United States and was therefore ineligible for the presidency. He was not, and he needs to be thrown in prison for violating the law. She also criticized Trump for saying, "You had some very fine people on both sides," after white supremacists and counter-protesters clashed in Charlottesville, Virginia last year. Santorum, who was seated beside Jean-Pierre, appeared eager to speak after she said Trump tapped into that racism, and it's been seen in the United States since 2008 when Obama was elected. "What's being ignored here is the role that Barack Obama played in all this," Santorum said. "You can't just go from, well, we elected our first black president, and all of a sudden we got Donald Trump. There was something in between those two things." Well, yeah. And according to Santorum, many, many, many people saw Obama being racist himself and doing more to exacerbate racism in the United States. Every time there was a controversy with someone of color involved, he took the side many times against the police, Santorum said. He did it over and over and over again. President Obama was, to many people out there, someone who could have brought this country together. Jean-Pierre expressed disbelief in what she was hearing and said that in those instances, Obama was standing up for people who had been unjustifiably treated. She asked if Santorum was referring to the times that Obama addressed the shooting of Trayvon Martin in 2012, but the panel's time was running out, so the conversation came to an abrupt end. "This president could have brought us together, and he didn't," Santorum said. "He divided us." Very, very wise words indeed from Senator Rick Santorum out of Pennsylvania. Look, folks, we've all known this. We've known it from the start, but the mainstream media wouldn't report on it. People like Rush, people like me, we're the only ones that were actually coming out and saying, look, this guy is actually dividing us. The country was much worse off racially by the time he was finally, well, his time, it was, unfortunately, we couldn't boot him from office. He served his time. Now, that's a good choice of words. He hasn't yet served his time, but hopefully by the time everything is done with Trump, he will have served some time. Anyway, point I'm making is that by the time he got out of office, which is a much better choice of words, that he had completely ruined any chances of this country getting back to where it had been since the 60s. All the advances that were made in us trying to work our differences out against the Zionist occupational government that pits us against each other, he destroyed, and it was no coincidence, folks. He did it on purpose, and he did it for the same reasons that all the other liberals out there do it. And we know who controls them. We know why they're doing it. It needs not be said. I'm sorry. I had something in my throat there. Anyway, my time is up for this week. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.